Social Media Podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, you'll feel. Every weekend, you better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, that is right. Rob and Akiva need a podcast, episode number 18. I can't believe it's just banter. I am Rob Cesternino, back once again on the show with a wheel of podcast ideas submitted to us by you, the listeners. This is the People's Podcast, and I am here with the podcaster's podcaster. Here he is, Mr. Wheels Akiva Winokur.
I think Wheels should go in the middle. Right, it should be Akiva Wheels Winokur, I think. Also, if there's somebody I really like, a podcaster that I'm a fan of, does that make them the podcaster's podcaster's podcaster?
Yes, yes. Okay. Is that who is that person?
I'd have to, that's a really, lofty mantle. I don't want to just give that away.
Okay, all right. So
it could be you.
I suspect it's not.
Okay, I got to think about that. Who's the podcaster's podcaster's podcaster? That's a hard thing to say.
The PPP. Okay.
Do you ever do vocal warm-ups like the he sells, she sells by the seashore, like they teach
no,
you in acting
no,
class?
No, no. Well, I spend every morning screaming at my children for a good 30 to 40 minutes, and that's usually the most strenuous vocal warm-up that I do during the day.
Imagine if you got on set. You were like an actor, like, hey, Rob, come and do a guest spot on CSI Tulsa, and you're like, all right, hold on one second. Like, you just start yelling, Anthony, clean up those toys, pick up the Legos, I just stepped on one. And that's your method. Like, that's how you get into character, by yelling at your fake kids.
Yes, yes. would be a good way to do it. Akiva, last week, you and I did something that no other podcasters have attempted, that we just started calling the listeners.
Yeah, we reinvented the wheel. No pun intended.
Yeah. And what did you think about the response to pranking the listeners?
I think it was a top five response. I think in terms of quantity, I think it was maybe the most or definitely top three or four.
Yes.
There were people who said it didn't work for me. There was definitely people didn't like it. Alex Chester said it was unlistenable. He fast forwarded to the wheel part.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Future, he could be on next week's episode, depending on how the wheel goes, but said unlistenable.
What was his criticism? Just because he felt like that he's not part of the the RNAP community?
I think he thought it was too inside baseball, even though it wasn't. I think he just assumed that. It wasn't like we called people up or like, tell us what your favorite, episode of Survivor Nicaragua was. Like, it was pretty basic. Like, it wasn't very inside reality TV baseball, but it wasn't for him. I don't know. But his opinions are always wrong. It might be like a positive for us that he hated it.
Yeah. Did he like the T-Dub episode? Did he mention that?
I think that was inside baseball for him also. I don't remember. Yeah. I don't ask him every episode what he thinks.
Because I wonder, these episodes that we get like really great feedback on, I wonder, is it really working for some people? And then for the majority of people, is it just sort of like neither here nor there?
I mean, but if people love an episode, if people say that's my favorite, like, then I think we did our job. I don't think, I don't care if some people, like, okay, they'll listen the next time. And if they get 10 in a row they don't like, they'll probably stop listening. What percentage of our listener base is not sort of, like, inside your world? We have no way of knowing that.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think we have a lot of casuals that listen to Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast.
Maybe. I mean, it is the one thing that's not about, like, a 20-year-old reality show. Like, in theory, it could, like, News AF and Rob and Akiva, like, could be jumping off points for maybe someone who, I don't know how they'd find you. But, like, especially when the shows aren't on TV. But I don't know. I always thought that Seinfeld was just, like, the Seinfeld fans amongst your listenership. But, like, towards the end of the run and now in the last year and change, like, I've met a lot of people who are like, oh, no, I don't listen. Like, they're in our world. Like, they'll respond to these quizzes and things we do. And like, oh, no, I've never seen Survivor. Like, they came from Seinfeld.
Yeah, it is weird with podcasting about these other shows. My mom had gone to the post office and she was sending out Christmas presents to us. And she was like at the post office or the UPS store or whatever. And she was sending this out to Rob Cesternino. And the guy at the post office was like, oh, Rob Sesternino, the podcaster? And she's like, yes. Yeah. And he's like, oh, how do you know him? And she's like, well, I'm his mom. He's like, oh, yes. Well, I listened to his 24 podcasts.
Wow. That's really out there. And that's a good recall. Like, if I listen to somebody's 24 podcasts, I wouldn't even remember their name. Also, congrats to that guy on having your address.
Well,
I'm guessing you don't give your mom the P.O. box, you know?
Right. Right. So there's just somebody that like remembered my name and I guess I knew maybe anecdotally about the other podcast.
But, you're probably also not supposed to do that as a post office employee, right? You're not supposed to be like, listen, Miss Jolie, I don't want to say anything, but I'm a big fan.
Yeah, but I thought that was funny that somebody there's somebody out there that knows me as a 24 podcaster.
Yeah, 24 is dead, right? I feel like they rebooted it too soon, and now it's just gone forever. Like, there's no clamoring for now a 24 movie, which I think if they had done it the right time, you could have done like a trilogy of like Jack Bauer 24 movies that would have done Bafo B.O.
Yeah,
the numbers of the box office.
They treated it like the format was the star, and I'm not really sure that was the case. That I felt like that they could have done something with 24 where it was like, hey, a time bomb is going to go off in an hour and 32 minutes and sort of like use the real time in terms of like the runtime of the movie. But they tried to bring it back, and they put it on after the Super Bowl. I think it was after the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl. And it did not land the 24 reboot. So I think at this point in time, I think it's dead. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in reboot world that we live in, that they try to do something with the format again. But I think that the Kiefer Sutherland version of it is certainly done.
It's such a perfect format. It really, like, there is definitely is a reboot there somewhere.
The problem is that it was born out of, like, hey, 24 episodes in a season, 24 hours in a day. What if 1 hour of time? But now you'd have to come up with maybe like, 12.
Yeah, it takes a nap in there.
Yeah, 12 episodes in a season. Hey, and that might actually be better, even though you don't ever say, 12 hours in terms of a block of time. But a 24 season would always be like they deal with something for half the season. They'd sort of like figure that out. And then like a new threat would sort of emerge at like the 12 or 13 hour mark. It would be like two half seasons back to back.
It's a pretty good idea. Yeah, like what happens, and also you never see Jack Bauer go to the bathroom or anything. Like, that's 24 hours. He doesn't sleep, doesn't use the bathroom. Like, I guess he's not in scenes, but he's never gone for like 2 hours, right?
He's never gone for 2 hours. There might be one episode here or there where they don't see him that much. Were you a fan of that show?
Yeah. Well, I think it was just, it came on like at a perfect time when I was starting college. Everyone was just binging, and it was the first binge show, I think. I think it was the first like ever binge show.
But you had to get the DVDs.
But I was in college. They would have these sort of like internal system where one nerd would put up all the shows for everybody. And then he'd go away for a week. And then like everyone would just be like moaning, like walking in the halls, like, where is this? And you didn't even know their name. It was always like, Johnny Best One. And you'd always like, I don't know who Johnny Best One is, but he was your icon. Like that. He would just load up. Like, that's probably why I didn't watch Survivor in college, because they didn't load up Survivor. It was a lot of network shows. And my friend Chemi, who like is a clown, like he didn't go to class and
literally
he just
a clown.
No, he's just like just a character. So he didn't go to class and he would
Chemi
just watch
would be a good clown name.
Yeah, Chemi the clown. He wouldn't go to class and he'd just watch everything that was on. It was called the network, like what they would upload. It was some internal network because this is pre wireless. And
did you watch it on TV or on a computer?
Computer. It was through the internet, and it would take a long time sometimes to upload or download or whatever it was.
Intranet.
Yes. So he once said to me, he's like, oh, I'm like, I'm regularly watching like 42 shows this semester. And I remember the list. He like listed them because there was a couple girls around this. And I remember like as he would list the shows, like this girl started like walking away. He was really into the show Clubhouse. Do you remember Clubhouse on CBS?
Definitely not. Oh, was that the Dean Cain
show?
The Dean Cain baseball show?
Yeah, it was a baseball show on CBS that I think was
on
like
the
a
wheel.
Fake Yankees. No way. Well, can we get Chemi?
Yeah, it was like a one season.
Yeah, there is definitely no season 3, episode 7. I'm not even sure if there's a season 1, episode 7.
Right, it's like, Dean Cain is a baseball player on like what a fake version of the Yankees. And then there's like a kid who's like the bat boy.
Yeah, the Bat Boy is involved. Does the Bat Boy join the team? Probably at some point.
I don't think it's like a Rookie of the Year scenario.
Yeah, only I was right. Only 5 episodes aired. They did film 11, so I guess there is a season 1 episode 7.
Hard to get really into a show that only has 5 episodes.
I just remember, like, it must have been, I could tell you basically what week it was then, because, like, it had to be, you know, October of 2004. He also, Chemi, I always had Jets tickets growing up. And when I was a kid, I didn't realize this till I was older, but, like, people would be nice to me, so I would take them to sporting events, because my family always had tickets to games. And or I could, like, we had Jets season tickets. My grandfather bought them in 1964, and he called this week, and he said he wants to go to London if the Jets play in London in October.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still going, even though I really don't want to go to London. But he also had a lot of clients. He's an accountant. So if I ever needed tickets, he could pretty easily get them without paying. So like when I realized that was older, like, oh, yeah, people are kind of like not really my friends and they're using me for tickets. But Chemi is the only person who met me. And I guess we had like a couple of mutual friends. And the first thing he does after we met is like he cornered me in the elevator like the next morning in college. He's like, hey, like, can I come to the Jet game this week? And I was like, this week, I just met you. Like, we have to be friends first. Like, I gave away the ticket. And anyway, he's like, yeah, but what if the guy cancels? I said, he's not going to cancel. And he said, and he's like, who's coming? And I told him, he's like, oh, I know that guy is. He calls up the guy and asks if he could go instead of him. And then he came to the
game.
It's
like a big red flag for Hemi.
Oh, it was. We're still friends like 15 years later. So it was a huge, I should have known.
What was the bigger red flag, this or the fact that he was a stan of Clubhouse?
Stan of Clubhouse.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, if there's any Jewish ladies listening out there, he's my only single friend. So if anybody wants to. He's the guy he brought. He sat in the first row of our live Seinfeld show. He brought a date.
Oh,
I'd imagine by like the time when we were talking about the Frogger, by the time they got to like the pizza restaurant, they were probably broken up. Like they did not make it past. Yeah, he brought, I think the girl was a redhead. No, she had curly hair. She had very curly hair. She was sitting in the first row. And they did not make it past there. But he also once brought a girlfriend to my house and she stayed up here. But he my wife didn't let them stay in the same room. So he stayed next door by my neighbor. And in the middle of the night, she like I slept through this. But like she made him, she was so cold in my office where she was sleeping, that she went like next door and made him switch houses. Like I woke up in the morning and he was in my office and she was at the neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
And that was speaking of red flags. That was a red flag. And she also, I believe, broke up with him like that Saturday night, like that night she breaks up with him.
Yeah.
So if there's anybody out there, he's not really a clown. He's a nice guy. If anybody wants to marry Chemi, nice Jewish lady out there, then hit me up.
So interestingly about, or not so interestingly about, Clubhouse, show is about a, kid who, gets his dream job working as a bat boy for his favorite baseball team, the New York Empires, which their logo is like blatantly like a ripoff of the Yankees.
The Yankees, yes.
And the kid is going through the normal and not so normal problems of a teenager. And then, he befriends the star of the team, Dean Cain, who I guess is sort of like a Jason Giambi type guy.
Okay, grizzled
like,
vet.
Like a grizzled up, like roided Jose Canseco type, right? Mm-hmm. Like you would never see Dean Cain as like a baseball player in 2019, right?
No, I don't think he'd get cast. This is an Aaron Spelling show, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Christopher Lloyd plays Lou Russo. I don't know. Is he like the manager? What do you think? He's the general manager?
He's gotta be. He has to be the manager. And Lou Russo is an amazing manager name, even though there's no... Right? That is like... We could tell he's the manager just based on that name.
Yeah. He's like the Joe Torre here.
I think... I think so. He could be like a bench coach, but I don't know if that guy would be like in the opening credits. Mm-hmm. Like that might be too small of a role for C. Lloyd.
Yeah, the show aired 5 episodes from September 26, 2004 to November 2004. I think that maybe they felt like, okay, oh, maybe like the baseball crowd is watching through the World Series. And then maybe we'll get some heat. Red Sox just won the World Series. Maybe people want to watch a baseball show. The rest of the series aired on HDNet in 2005.
Oh, I think they show the concerts usually. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, I think they usually show.
That's the Mark Cuban network, right? HD.
The Mark Cuban network, yeah. I think it might have been like Mav TV at a certain point, right? Because that's Cuban's thing.
Not sure.
It was like channel like 722 on Verizon Fios.
Yeah. Could we go back to talking about the show from last week? Because I feel like that I saw this comment quite a bit of, I really like the idea that people, that you call people, but the pranking was not working. We should ditch the prank premise if that returns back to the wheel.
Even though I do think maybe the prank moments were some of the best moments, like when Gina was going to call Nina, I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. But I agree, like, these people have already submitted, they know we're calling them. So I just think logistically, there's no, unless, like, had it been 6 months, maybe they, it's easier to prank them. But also, like, they won't pick up their phones. I think a lot of people won't answer their phones unless they're expecting us. So what do you think?
I mean,
excising the pranking
stuff. Yeah, I think that what we should do is sort of, like, let people know that we're calling. But I think that maybe, like, what we should do is that we should do some sort of, like, we're calling the listeners, but maybe we're calling for a focus group. And we're asking, we have, like, a list of questions that we're asking the listeners when we actually call.
But it should be different for every listener, I think. Otherwise, it'll get stale by, like, the third call.
You think so? Like, because I feel like that, even though I was making fun of your question, who's living rent-free in your head.
Yeah.
I feel like that was fun to get the different responses from people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that question, if people don't like the episode, is living rent-free in those people's heads this week.
Yeah. I feel like that has been one of the lasting things that has come out of that podcast.
No, I think it ended up, even though we got maybe no good answers out of it. Well, the troll's answer was really funny.
Yeah.
And also a big debate over whether living rent free in someone's head is good or not. That really sparked some debate on the internet this week, because like the AOC thing, like, is it somebody that you like? I'm right. I think it's only negative. Otherwise, like, well, you wouldn't make them pay rent. Like, my kids aren't living rent free. They're just like, they're allowed to be here, you know?
Yeah.
But like, Hemi, if he was here, would be living rent free.
Right. Okay. Keev,
yes.
Are you following the saga of Jeff Bezos and his divorce?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was thinking that, like, if I was an extremely attractive woman right now, this is the Super Bowl, right? If I was like but then it came out today that he already has a lady friend.
Yes. Yes. She is like a news anchor.
She's, I think, a former news anchor who now owns or operates. Well, first, her husband is like one of the big agencies out in L.A. He runs like not UTA, one of those agencies, I think. But so she has some business where it's like if you need a helicopter for a movie, you call her company and they, you know, she can even fly it, which is probably an impressive person if you could fly a helicopter. But I think so. Maybe the thought was that the National Enquirer was onto them and that they sort of outed themselves because they were about to be, you know, it was about to be known that they were dating.
It's starting to get really ugly, the Jeff Bezos split, because we're starting to get some leaked sex that Jeff Bezos is sending. And
no.
I don't know why we need to know this.
Is that really happening? The sets are being.
Yeah. So
if you're Jeff Bezos and you have 100, you can't have some carrier pigeon take the sets for you.
A drone.
A drone, anything. Like,
sex
it doesn't
drone.
Make it like. Yeah. Amazon, the sex drone. Amazon had like, aren't they doing rockets? You could freaking send a rocket to her house. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. He said to his mistress, I want to smell you. I want to breathe you in.
That's kind of weird.
Alexa, like what are some good sex to send a woman? I don't think that would be up there.
I wonder, like, if I said to my wife, I want to smell you, she'd be like, go away, creep.
You know, but this, I think, really illustrates why. I think that the emoji are the way to go. Because they're open to interpretation.
Right, nobody's going to be like, hey, you're right. Here's his emoji. Or learn
I do feel like that going back to the whole thing with the emoji movie, I feel like was a subplot that really should have been explored in the emoji movie. Like, we didn't really get to see a lot with like the eggplant and the peach.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I feel like that could have been some.
Well, that'll be in the sequel. That'll be in the emoji movie sequel, I'm assuming.
Let me get Mike White back on the phone because I think that there's some room here.
I can't believe his racy text got leaked. That's why. I mean, Jeff Bezos, if that could happen to him, my wife when she uses her laptop, she puts a cover on it like Mark Zuckerberg does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like she puts something over the camera.
Yes.
If that happens to Jeff Bezos, it can literally happen. Like the richest person ever. It could literally happen to anybody. That's scary. I'm not, you know.
Yeah. He said, I will show you with my body and my lips and my eyes very soon.
His eyes. What are his eyes going to do?
I don't know. I don't know.
Hold on. I love you, alive girl.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I love you, comma, alive girl. Maybe the New York Post is putting the comma in the wrong place, but like if he's saying I love you alive,
Oxford,
that
comma?
Doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Like I don't. That's weird. What, you love someone and then you're calling them alive girl?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah. We'll see. But this Jeff Bezos divorce, I mean, is his wife, like if she gets more public support, does that help out her settlement? Like, I kind of feel like what's the difference between like $110 million and $130 million?
I like that's why. I mean, maybe we're naive, but like I can't. Are they really like fighting over this stuff? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't spend it if you tried. Like just split it. I think Washington State is like an even split anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Especially you started Amazon, I believe, after they were married, so she's entitled to whatever. Like they're just splitting it anyway. A couple lawyers are probably circling them like vultures and going to get very rich off this.
Yeah,
but couldn't you see Chester as a good divorce lawyer? My 32 Fans co-host Alex Chester. I feel like he could get in the mud with divorce law.
I don't know. I feel like that if I was going to be in a divorce, I feel like I would feel good about Chester representing.
Yeah, so that
my
means
side.
He's a like pit bullish. Like that's not that's you know that's he has two modes, like normal mode, and then he gets into lawyer mode, and he becomes you know, it's like attack mode.
Have you and your wife ever talked about what a divorce would be like? If that's not too personal of a question.
Ooh, no, I assume she would just take everything and like I'd be lucky. Here's the thing. I'm so incompetent. I think she knows that she'd still like need to like pay my bills for me. Like I don't write the checks, you know, I earn money. But like she knows like if she kicked me out, I would just be I don't know what I would do.
Like I would be so cool about it. I really would be like, look, this is
I think
like,
everyone says that. Everyone says that.
No, my wife says no. She's like, no. She's like, are you kidding me? No, I would be hard. I would be so mean to you.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to divorce Nicole. I agree. Or my wife. Our wives are kind of similar. My wife would be pretty rough in there. Also, I have no divorce experience. Like my wife's as Mary and I got married, her parents were getting divorced. Like she maybe has more divorce experience. Like my parents have never even had an argument.
My wife doesn't even let me like contemplate it. She's like, you think this is bad? Do you have any idea what a divorce is going to be like? Do you know what I'll be like in divorce mode?
Yeah.
Get it out of your head. Don't even think about it.
I think, well, that's a good way to not get divorced also. Just be like, trust me, this is, you don't want any of that.
I'm more scared of the divorce.
No, for sure.
Young Jeff Bezos in some of these pictures, looking a little Kevin Spacey-ish.
Are there pictures of him with hair?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Jeff
Bezos
with hair.
He's got a real Spacey vibe, and that's not what you want to go for.
It is. That also, like, as a guy who lost a lot of his hair, like, if Jeff Bezos is just, you know, quitting and shaving it, it doesn't say, you know, it's not great for, like, the toupees out there, the fake hair industry.
Yeah.
And if he can't grow a nice fake head of hair, then there's no hope for any of us.
Mm-hmm. You feel like that somebody with all the money in the world, if he can't figure it out.
Right. If he can't rock a killer toupee or get one of these like four hymns or something and like grow it back, like what is Akiva Wieneker going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of what is Akiva going to do, I know a lot of people wanted a follow up on your story about what your dinner story. You got a dinner invitation.
Yeah, it's a little complicated, but just to repeat the story, we do these form Orthodox Jews do these formal meals to Friday night and Saturday afternoon, and someone sort of invited us, and then I couldn't tell if it was a 100% of invitation where they meant to follow up and then didn't, and therefore we were not invited. We went back for days. It was supposed to be Friday night. On Thursday night, I mentioned it to my wife, and after my daughter said, text them, ask them, what should you bring? Like, should you bring dessert? And if they say, what are you talking about? Just say, ooh, never mind, wrong person. And if they say, yeah, bring dessert, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife went the other route. She asked the girl's cousin, who we know. The girl's cousin asked her own mother, who is the possible invitees or inviter's aunt, and who went straight to the source and said, hey, you invite the Wienerkers. I'm assuming she said no.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asked her husband. He's like, oh, yeah, I kind of mentioned to Akiva, but like, I assume that he's stupid. Like, I assume that like he realized it wasn't a full invite and we'll have them another time. So we got invited. So we had to go to this meal that we were probably not invited to.
Yeah.
So it was like, would have been awkward, but the guy was very nice. I didn't feel like we were second class citizens there.
Okay, so it worked. And they're new in town.
They are new in town, but it's also usually when someone's new in town, you're supposed to invite them first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so it didn't go great. Rob, I had my most viral tweet ever yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And by that I mean like I must have missed it.
Almost 200 likes.
What's give me the slash line on it.
The slash line is 4-2-182. 182 is my most likes ever.
4-2-182? Okay.
Well, I've gotten more retweets, but I think that's the most likes I've ever gotten, 182.
Okay.
So the tweet was, I told my 5-year-old son that he could only play on the phone during my daughter's basketball game only when my daughter was sitting on the bench. So he spent the entire game yelling at her coach to take his sister out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So did Bafo numbers, big numbers for the... For the 5-year-old son tweet.
Yeah,
it was a really clever move by him. It's a true tweet. It's not one of those that happened type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way that you could have mutually aligned their interests?
What if I said you could only go on the phone when my daughter, like if they're winning or something? So yeah, she starts rooting
or
for
when
them.
She's in the game. So then you know, then your son could have been like harassing the coach, also, like, "Hey, come on, put my sister in the game, coach. What's your problem?"
Yeah, I don't think usually coaches go the other way, right? I think he would not have been amenable to that. Probably he would have been like, no. Why am I being heckled by a 5-year-old?
Yeah, but a cute kid, I think that you do feel some pressure. I mean, that's my solution for the Oscars of that. You know, everybody started like, oh, what do we do about the host? I think we get some precocious kids to host the Oscars. Who's going to have a problem with that, Keeve?
What if they have like racist tweets on
kids?
Like,
they're the little kids.
Yeah. I mean, what? But why? Who's gonna? Like, nobody wants to see little kids. People watch the Oscars to get away from like the real world, which involves kids.
You don't think it would be cute to have like little kids, and they do like little reenactments from the movies, and then they say, and then they just like butcher the stars' names when they're like, and now here is. And they, throw it to different people.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a nightmare to deal with, like, child actors like that. Like, if they're that young and they don't, like, they can't pronounce things. I think it would be funny. I do think they're going to go with just, random famous people. And that way, like, you can't get The Rock to commit to, like, 2 weeks of preparing. But you could probably get him to, like, do the intro or do a segment. And the same thing with other A-list stars. So that's probably what they're going to do. I mean, no one will watch it anyway. I feel like the numbers keep collapsing on them, right? Like,
right.
The award shows in general, I don't want to knock them. Like, God bless you if you like them. But, like, I like sports. And, like, if you like movies, like, that doesn't mean you should like award shows. Like, I like sports, but I don't like the ESPYs, or, like, the NFL Honors hosted by Alec Baldwin. Like, nothing happens, especially, like, the Golden Globes that are just, like, a bunch of old French dudes deciding or like... There's no acting at the Oscars. There's no, like the Emmys, like at least there's music at the Grammys. I don't know. I think award shows. If television ever became like a la carte where you had to pay. So let's say for a sports game, you just instead of having ESPN, you just like paid 99 cents and you could watch it like mini pay-per-view. I think sports would survive. I think the shows we love, like, Game of Thrones or whatever would survive. But I think, so, like, would people pay to watch an award show? I'm not sure.
Well, I do think that there are some people that get really up for the Oscars. I think that that's, sort of like the big one. People have Oscar parties, but...
Right. No, not the Oscars, but the other award shows, like the Emmys or the Golden Globes and stuff.
SAG
like, I feel
Awards,
like they would die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they would die an immediate death, other than the Oscars.
Right. The Grammys, you get a lot of musical performances, and that's probably, like, the one award show that's, like, the closest to, like, hey, I like music. Like, I like musical
artists.
Right, because
you could the thing. Right. You're not doing, like, a sketch with, like, Tom Cruise acting.
Right.
Doing, like, a Mission Impossible
Black
move
Box
during
Theater.
The Oscars.
Yeah, where Meryl Streep is cool. Going to act a scene with somebody.
It would actually make it worse, so don't, like, definitely don't do that. But it's not a bad idea. I don't know.
Yeah. How come Billy Crystal hasn't gotten the, like, hey, can Billy Crystal come in and save the Oscars? Did he, like, do a bad job? Was it, like, the Eddie Murphy year?
His last one wasn't beloved. And I also think once you're taking away from Kevin Hart and you've had all these Oscars so white hashtags, I don't think they're going to just give it to a random white guy, especially, like, a super old one.
Go back.
I don't think
to,
you could do that. Yeah. I think it has to, yeah, I think it has to be a more diverse pick at this point. I also don't think anybody, everyone who wants the job, like, they don't want, and you know.
Does anybody like, want no the job? I saw Whoopi Goldberg said she wanted to, but I kind of feel like there does not seem to be a lot of people campaigning. It's like a reverse Democratic 2020 primary.
Yeah, Bill Simmons just said that they should give it to Letterman. If Letterman came in with the crazy beard, you know, because the last time he did it was sort of a flop, but he was able to squeeze a lot of juice out of it afterwards.
He doesn't need any of that noise. Then, you know, people are going to, that really, it's like an open invitation for all of this scrutiny, and people are going to go back and like, hey, wait, didn't Letterman have an affair with his intern? And,
true. I mean, it was consensual, right? But yeah, not ideal.
Don't know enough about it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think
it was a big deal. I think people, you know, people forget that was like for like 2 days, that was like a mini Tiger Woods scandal.
Yeah.
The Letterman scandal.
Yeah, I think that you gotta either go with kids or Donald Glover.
I mean, I don't, Donald Glover's too hot. He's not gonna do it.
Too hot.
I think you could have got you like it's too late for Glover.
Hmm.
I listened to this podcast, Hollywood Handbook, which is one of my favorite. Maybe those are those
Leslie
guys
Jones. Could you get podcast. Leslie Jones to host the Oscars?
I do think Leslie Jones is like a come with person, like we discussed on Seinfeld. Like she's, I think she'd be up for it. I do think she would do it. The problem is like.
Does she have racy stand-up? Is that a problem?
No, Leslie Jones could get away with whatever she wants. She's Leslie Jones. But I don't know. She's more of a TV person. She should be like, you know, I think the movies are a little pretentious. Like, oh, she's on SNL. She should be hosting the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
Not the, well, yes, Kimmel is never been, connected to any movie. But for whatever reason, the late night hosts get sort of, you know, grandfathered in.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I don't think we have a guy. I don't Donald Glover is interesting.
He shouldn't do it. He should stay home.
He's also not that famous. Like he's famous on the internet, but like your grandma in like Tuscaloosa doesn't know who Donald Glover is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a ton of name recognition outside of the internet.
I mean, when do they have to make a call on this?
I don't know. When are the Oscars? I feel like they have a month, maybe a month and a week.
Yeah. And
like, I'm not even going to watch them. Why is there more? Why is there like more intrigue about who's going to host them than the actual things? Like nobody cares.
Is this sort of like a kayfabe? Like, is the Oscars just trying to like drum up interest? Like, I feel like that there's not any movies that are really getting people excited. Do they need to like sort of manufacture controversy around who's going to host it?
That's what the NBA does, right? Like the NBA tries to stay in the news 12 months a year.
Yeah.
And so everyone on Twitter is like, love this league, hashtag best league ever. You know, like, oh my God, this guy is like in a fight with this guy and he stole his girlfriend. Or, you know, these guys are like sending angry memes at each other. That's what the NBA does. So that is a good PR strategy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like to keep yourself in the news. All press is good press. That's what I've read.
I don't know. I don't know. You reach a critical mass with some of that stuff.
Critical AJ mass. I have one question for you.
Yeah.
When you were in school,
who
like especially
is living rent free.
No.
Oh.
When you were in high school.
Yes.
Was there a lot of cheating in high school?
On tests.
On tests or the SATs. Like in general. Like what was your like, did you cheat? Did you copy homework? What was your level of cheating, if any?
I don't recall any sort of rampant cheating going on in the high school. Like, I kind of feel like that there was like some talk about, you know, somebody had a test from a previous year, but. I don't think that anybody had really, you know, beaten the casino in terms of being able to have sort of wide-scale cheating going on.
Yeah, because I was talking to someone this week, and I thought that the amount of cheating that went on in my school was normal. But now, like, the more people I speak to, the more I realize, like, no, we were the exception, that it was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had, and I didn't care. I sort of always knew what college I was going to. I had good but not incredible you know, test scores, I was going, like, there was, other than like committing a homicide, like there was no way I wasn't going to the college I ended up going to. You know, I wasn't trying to get into some like elite school. So like I really had no motivation to do anything other than to pass. Mm-hmm. Right. So I thought cheating would just be a hassle. Like you get caught cheating, you get expelled or your parents have to come in. So I literally never cheated in high school, but but there were a lot of tests. I was the only kid in my whole class not cheating. Mm-hmm. Like, it became a sport. I guess like in hindsight, it was crazy. Like there was one kid whose parents were very strict.
Yeah.
And he would have to study. His parents would like make him sit in his room and study for like a math test. Mm-hmm. And he was the only kid in the whole grade who would study. So he would study and he'd do it. And then there was just this whole crazy system where like the guy who sat behind him would write down his answers on a little piece of paper and pass it to the next guy and the next guy. And the teacher just wouldn't say anything. And then when I became a teacher, like later in life, I realized like it is such a hassle to catch someone cheating, prove that they're cheating. You kind of if you're catching multiple kids, you kind of like lose the class. You look bad as a teacher. Like it's easier just to like say nothing sometimes and the kids get good grades. And the teacher was kind of old and he'd like read a New York Times sometimes during the test, which takes up like your whole desk and he couldn't see over it.
Hmm. Yeah.
But they would literally cheat the whole, like if there was 20 kids in the class, I wouldn't cheat. And then 19 kids would cheat. And I sometimes would do the worst. Sometimes they wouldn't do as well. And I would like, you know, do like if they all got an 80 and I got like an 82 or something, I would beat them. But like it was systemic for 4 years. In hindsight, it was crazy. So one time the kid whose parents made him study didn't show up the day of the test. He was sick or something.
OK,
so the kid's like, all right, we have to get this test canceled because nobody knew, like nobody could get one question right. Let's say if there's 25 questions on the test, nobody knew anything because nobody paid attention to class, would cut class and play football or play poker when we were seniors.
How did they cheat, though? Everybody was cheating, but what were they doing?
So the methods were basically it was pretty simple. You'd copy off the guy behind you. And if there was a big gap in desks, it was, some of these classrooms were small. It was a small school. Then you would just write down some answers on a paper and like throw the note when the guy wasn't looking and the other guy would catch it.
But everybody like, was in on it. What if like one person, like if you're the person that's not mm-hmm. in on it, like, aren't yeah. you screwing up the whole class because that everybody's waiting for you to pass the note?
No, because you could just throw it. Like, literally, you could probably get up and, like, you know, if the guy is not looking for a second, it's pretty easy to, like, pass a piece of paper without mm-hmm. the teacher knowing.
Okay.
And it's pretty easy to discard it if he's like, hey, what's that? You could, you know, you could, like, eat it or something. It never happened. Nobody ever got caught cheating. They did it in classes where there were certain teachers who you wouldn't cheat in, but this math teacher, for whatever reason, was indifferent towards it. And also, like, they would get, you know, showing your work cost points. So it's not like everyone would always get, like, the same 88 on the test. So anyway, this one time, this guy doesn't come in. The one guy who actually knew the material, and they devised like the craziest plan of all time, which was they were going to distract the secretary. Remember, this is a small school, so there's mm-hmm. just like one secretary in an office. They were going to distract the secretary and steal the test, which had been copied and was in the math teacher's box from the office. Mm-hmm. So they do it. This is like 10 in the morning. The test is at 2. So they steal the test, and there's a big problem. You could have the test all day long. Like they don't know they don't know the answers. Like there's no answer key. Like they have no idea how to actually answer the, like getting the test early doesn't help. And it's not like you could Google the answers or something. It was 1999 or 2000. So a bunch of guys get money together and they give one of the other math teachers $60 and get one of the kids to tutor him. He had tutored him a bunch of times during the year. And they used the test that we were going to take as his, what he called the practice test. You follow? So he had the other math teacher going over the real test, thinking it was like a practice test that the other teacher had given out.
Okay.
So this kid ends up going over the whole for $60 for the tutoring. He ends up going over the whole test during like his free period with the math teacher. Hands in a test with the other teacher's handwriting, and everyone in the class got like a 90 to 100.
And
it really is one of the great. It's like one of the great finesses of all time. He handed in a test with the teacher's handwriting.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, that didn't arouse any suspicion?
No, I guess the teacher must not have cared. He must have been like close to retirement. Also, a lot of times with the private schools, what happens is you have a teacher who is you know, teaches in like, you know, Roslyn High School for 30 years and then they're retired and they get a pension. But here's just like extra money on the side. So they come teach at these private schools, you know, for like that are smaller that they can't, they don't have a full, you know, course load for like two classes. They're like 90% of the door. They're mailing it in. They don't want to look bad. So it looks better. Nobody ever came to me and was like, hey, you know, you have your kids need to score lower on tests. When I was a teacher, the principal would be like, how come your kids are struggling? You know, they need to get better grades. And
wow.
Also,
so this is like The Wire. This is like that. Yeah. You're like, they want you to like cook the books.
They didn't say that, but I never got a complaint that my tests were too easy. The one complaint I got was that one time I gave a final that the kids were roaming the halls after like 40 minutes and you're supposed to have them in there for like over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you need to give longer finals in the future. But yeah, I guess there's just, I think maybe because private schools are less formal, like in a public school, maybe this wouldn't have flown. And obviously in college, like if college you got caught doing that, you'd be expelled. One time we were in music class, which was incredibly boring. We were all copying the same homework like during class because the teacher like went out for 5 minutes and a kid turns to us, is like, I'm not going to rat on you if you guys stop right now, but you have to stop because otherwise I have to tell on you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So luckily there was nobody like that in high school, but you get to college, you meet the narcs.
This is like a whole expose that you could uncover.
So I thought every school on earth had this level of cheating until, you know, I got older and realized like, no, this wasn't it. We had kids who cheated on the SATs, like the whole test.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kid who did very poorly. It was a nice kid. He does well now, but like he was not a standardized test taker and he got like a 660 on the SATs, which was by far the lowest. I don't know why, but when you're in 11th grade, like, you know, did you know all your friends' SAT scores?
I think that when people got them, I think you sort of like, what did you get? What did you get? What did you get?
I do think, because we only had like 35 guys in our grade. I'm sure if you had asked me in 11th grade, I could have told you what all like 33 guys in our grade got on the SAT.
Yeah.
No, I have no, maybe there was like one or two like nerds who wouldn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But so this guy, they made him, like the school was nervous because they want like them to be able to say like the average SAT score of this high school is like 1320 or whatever. So they made him go to the SAT prep, which was taught by a teacher in the school. And then he just cheated on the SATs and he went from like 690 to 1080 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal comes in the day after we get our scores back and he's like, guys, I just want to tell you, like, we need to give that math teacher who gives the SAT prep, like, we need to give him a raise. He's the greatest SAT tutor of all time. Like, he got Jack up 300. Well, Jack's a real name. I shouldn't say that. But he got like, you know, Donnie up 390 points and James was up 360 points. And apparently, like, if you score up 400 points, like, there's an automatic review from the SATs.
Mm-hmm.
So he missed by like 10 or 20 points, like, you know, getting the review, which they would have easily caught him and realized that he cheated. But so they just missed that. The teacher literally came in and said, like, we need to give the math teacher a raise. He did such an amazing job. So a lot of cheating.
What was it specifically about your school? Was it just like super competitive?
No, I think it was the opposite. I think it was so like nobody cared. Most of the guys went to this like Queens College or Yeshiva where I went. Like, there wasn't a lot of pressure. So it's like, oh, nobody's going to study. But like, would just rather have fun and then cheat on tests.
Mm-hmm. That was what you, like, did for fun?
No, like, have fun and instead of doing work, cut mm-hmm. class, not study at night, and just, you know, take the easy route of cheating on a test.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, when you're in a private school, like, you're paying a lot of money, especially if it's a small school, there was like 150 kids, like, every kid they kick out, that's like 12, now it would be 25 grand, but then it was like 12 grand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to kick a kid out, that's money out of their pocket.
Right. So you feel like a private school is more ripe for the kids to cheat. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, things just fall through the cracks. Like, one time, one year, we just didn't have attendance. And we realized like a month in, like after second period, none of the teachers take attendance anymore. So we would just have a rotation of who got to leave because
mm-hmm.
like only the first and second period teachers would take attendance.
Mm-hmm.
So like we would fight like, no, it's my day to leave. Because if like six kids left, the teacher would notice. But if one kid was out, they weren't paying attendance, they'd never realize. So I, that stuff probably wouldn't happen in a decent private school, a public school.
Akiva, so I finally checked out The Masked Singer.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, people keep messaging us and be like, hey, can you guys do a podcast about The Masked Singer?
Yes,
but
people
not
up
to season three yet. I don't know how we're going to do it.
Into The Masked Singer, and I checked it out, and I said, I got to see what all the fuss is about with The Masked Singer. And I have to say, I came away unimpressed that maybe everybody else went into this with a, oh, what is this? Oh, this is great. I had no idea about this, but I came in with lofty expectations and I was sorely disappointed.
First of all, is it a half hour or an hour? That was the one thing I was wondering about. Okay, so this is the ultimate 4 minutes of content, stretch that to an hour show, right?
It's an hour. And
can you explain, is it every single person sings every week?
I don't know. It seems like that there are three sets and sort of like it's a like person versus person. And it's almost like that this guessing, and I didn't watch the episode with Antonio Brown he was revealed. And so I won't say who the person was, but honestly, like based off of the clues that they give, because there's a lot of like trying to help you guess what it is. I think that if you could not guess who the person was that was revealed, like it was a real idiot test of like there was one of two people that it could potentially have been. Yeah. And it was like, it was definitely the person that they gave very obvious hints of who it was going to be. And it was not a like, oh my God, I can't believe they got that person.
Do you know what I saw? I saw the clip on the internet, and I think this is the second straight week where they've had to explain who the person is with an on-screen Chiron the second they show them, which is not a great sign. Like if it was, you know, if it was Donald Trump, they wouldn't be like, hey, this is Donald Trump, president. You know, it's people that they need to explain who they are. And
right.
I think the Ken Jeongs of the world are playing it up big time. Oh, my God, I'm so excited it's this person where if they don't know beforehand, they might not even know. Like I won't say the person's name for spoiler reason, but like not everyone knows who that person is by face.
I'm not sure why they need to sing a song. I mean, I kind of feel like that they...
Well, otherwise, what would they do? Otherwise, the show is like 2 seconds.
I don't know. But honestly, like, I don't know necessarily, what the... Like, I guess it's interesting to see, like, who the other people are. But I'm curious to know, like, did the people pick out their costume? Did they have the 12 costumes? And then the people that they
There's
got...
There's 12 of them?
I think so. I think there's a total of 12.
But how many sing every week? Just two?
Six. It's like three rounds of two.
Some of these people have to like keep doing this for like 12 episodes or whatever?
Yeah, keep coming back out.
I like, it's funny that they pitched it and they're like, we're only going to reveal one celebrity a week. I just can't imagine. I actually Googled before, like, who are the celebrities, and Vulture had guesses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's not expect A-listers here, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the judges,
like people who like are always probably like finalists for Dancing with the Stars, but don't get it because someone bigger, like from The Bachelor, pushes them out at the last second.
Yeah, they're like so into it either. And, I just can't get as excited as the judges are.
I mean, they're getting paid to get that excited.
I guess
Jenny McCarthy, I shouldn't be there. Let's be honest.
Yeah. She's like, oh, way
into it. Late-breaking tweet, Rob.
Late-breaking tweet.
Scott Ring. He says, pranking listeners is an all-timer. Highest LPM for sure. That's laughs per minute. Yeah.
Boy.
The highest LPM
okay.
of any episode.
We need to get into the sabermetrics of our LPM.
What do you think the LPMs are for this one?
Pretty low.
Yeah, I don't know how many LPMs we've had. By the way, if anybody has good cheating stories, you know, send them in. Maybe I'll say them on the mailbag next week.
I think Jeff Bezos has some good ones.
Oh, all right. We got one left per minute.
Yeah.
And we just got another breaking tweet. Jamie wrote in and said, no banter allowed in podcasts in 2019.
Is that a rule?
Well, he's going to, you might want to skip this one.
Oh boy.
Jamie, you might want to pass on this episode. Rob, also to update you on something.
Yes.
I did the Jeopardy quiz this week. We have an upcoming episode where myself and a guest are going to be playing Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave a quiz to see who the lucky,
that's already out there.
Lucky contender would be. Yeah. So I gave the quiz.
Yes.
And anyone who has not taken it at this point is out of luck, because I'm going to ask you some of the questions right now. We had 75 people take the quiz.
Okay, good. All right. This is exciting.
All right. So I'm going to ask you some of the questions. Some of them I'm not going to go through all. There's 30 questions on the test. I went through old Jeopardy questions.
This feels like a little bit more of a game. I don't know if this qualifies as banter.
Oh, so you think I can't do this? Should I save this for
the
mailbag?
We can do it. I don't want to tease people, but I technically would not recall this banter.
I guess. But listen, sometimes you'll go on a first date, you might have like one or two things
like
in the pocket.
If you had a story about the people that took the test, that would certainly be banter. But then me
fine. So how about this? I'll ask you a question and you'll answer it. And then I'll tell you a story about what some of the other people guessed.
All right. I just want to make sure, you know, I don't want to get called out by anybody.
Okay. Name the four teams that have never appeared in a Super Bowl.
And this was an actual Jeopardy question?
Okay, so there's 28 questions that were on Jeopardy and two sports questions that I sort of wrote in.
Okay.
So this is one of the two that's actually not from Jeopardy.
All right, teams that have never appeared in the Super Bowl. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Correct. Almost made it in their second year.
Yes, have never appeared in a Super Bowl.
Almost made it last year, too.
I mean, this is probably the Houston Texans have never been in this
never
Super
made
Bowl.
It. Yeah.
And this is boring to I'm sure I can I could get to it if I went through it. But
yeah, it was untimed for the people because I didn't have a way to sort of time them. When I took the ESPN aptitude test, Rob, they email it to you and they say you have 45 minutes to answer whatever you can and send it back. If it's over 45 minutes, don't bother. Don't send it back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they time it. But I couldn't like do that for all 75 people who wrote
Browns. Browns never been to the Super Bowl.
The Browns are good. Yeah, I'm buying you time here. Yeah. The Browns. One more team. Different conference. The other team.
We've got a thing. Lions.
Yep. Yeah, you got them. You got all four. The Lions. Kind of embarrassing because the other teams are new or at least went away, like literally stopped existing at one point. The Lions have been
Browns,
you know,
weren't
eligible
gone for
every
long.
Super Bowl. True, but there's also a reason they sort of like, you know, had to move because they stunk.
Yeah.
The book, I'll just ask you one more, I think. The book Dirty Jokes and Beer is by this stand-up comedian, sitcom star, and game show host.
And game show host. Bob Saget?
No, a lot of people guessed that, actually. The second most popular guess was Jeff Foxworthy, but the correct guess was Drew Carey. I thought game show host would lead people to Price is Right.
Yeah.
But I don't associate Drew Carey with dirty jokes. I associate him with like PG jokes, right?
I don't associate Drew Carey with stand-up comedy.
I feel like all these guys started as stand-ups.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard Drew Carey stand-up.
I mean, when would you have heard it? Like every single person who got a sitcom with their name on it, the Jeff Foxworthy Show, Seinfeld, The Drew Carey Show, Ellen, all those people were stand-up comedians.
You know what? I think that maybe I just associated him more with improv from the Whose Line stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. But that's the same school. But yeah, a lot of the improv guys don't do stand-up, I guess.
But I've never seen a, you know, Drew Carey comedy special or anything like that.
All right, one more. Cottontail and these two other characters with rhyming names are Peter Rabbit's three siblings. So Peter Rabbit's three siblings are Cottontail and these two rhymers.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Flopsy and Mopsy. A lot of people got that.
Yeah.
You know, all these questions are Googleable. How many people, here's a question for you. How many people of these 75 do you think cheated?
Boy, how many went to school with you?
Think one. Do you think, by the way, let me ask you a question, actually, while you think about that. Do you think the guys who cheated, do you think that continued into their life? Do you think like those guys are more
likely?
No,
I don't think so, because it sounds like that there was a lot of peer pressure somehow that you did not succumb to.
Didn't give in to peer pressure. Yeah. Also, like when everyone was like smoking pot, I wasn't interested.
Yeah. Sort of like a Malcolm Gladwell type situation. But I kind of feel like that in a school where everybody is cheating, you know, I think that to me seems like more like, OK, well, you know, if everybody's doing it as opposed to a school where nobody is cheating, that kid is probably a sociopath.
Oh, so you think I'm the crazy
one?
No, the
one kid who is cheating in a school where nobody is cheating.
Got it.
You seem to have, you know, impeccable morals.
Yeah, I mean, no, I just didn't have an interest. Like, it was like, I would have had, like, bend down to pick up the piece of paper they were throwing around.
You were too
around.
Lazy to they cheat.
Probably lazy, indifferent, didn't want to deal with getting caught. I sort of feel like I was always going to be the one who would get caught and have to take the fall, and I wouldn't have been the guy to say, like, no, everybody else. We also had another thing that I remember where we had a teacher who didn't have a computer. Mm-hmm. And the school made a rule that the teachers had to type up their finals. Now, this is like 1999 or 2000. So like he maybe didn't know how to use a computer. Like it was the last time you could have really been not tech savvy and been a teacher. And it was health. It wasn't a real class. It was like a New York State mandated health class that met once a week. So he asked one of the kids in the class to write up the test for him because nobody cared. It was a pass-fail class. But the kid stupidly bragged on the bus, and it got back to like the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And he called like eight guys who he like narrowed it down to like who squealed into a room. And he said like started like really yelling at us. And he was a very nice teacher. It was very scary. And he's like, I'm going to come out. I'm going to like go out for a minute. And when I come back in, you guys have to tell me like, you're not going to be in trouble. I just need to speak to the person. Like, tell me who let the other kids know that like you wrote my test for me. And I stood up because I thought like we're always talking about like no snitching. We're always in it together. So I stood up. I'm like, Rabbi, like, we're not telling you. And the other guys immediately told him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like me after that. Like, he had liked me. He was like, you spoiled brat. He called me a spoiled brat in front of the whole class. And he was like, you like, you know, whatever. Like, I do all this stuff for you.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a whole thing. So, yeah, I guess the cheating went beyond like the teachers were involved. The one thing we actually had with the math teacher we cheated on was he was always in my NCAA tournament pool.
Mm-hmm.
So I do remember thinking like, well, listen, if I'm not cheating, but if any of you guys get caught, like you could just say like, well, you know, hey, Mr. Cohen or whatever, like, you know, the school fire you for gambling with the students. So
they would consider that gambling, the NCAA pool.
I think our school is very strict. Like he
except
really,
for cheating.
You know, except for the cheating, cause he didn't know about it. Like, I think they would have expelled. I think they wouldn't have rehired him for the next year if they knew he was like, I don't think they would have thought it was cute. Like, you know, putting in 10 bucks for NCAA tournament pool.
Mm-hmm.
They were weirdly strict about certain things. You could get kicked out for play fighting. Meaning if you were sort of like wrestling around,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't like an expellable offense, but like real fighting, not. There was very specific things that they did not like.
Wait, so you'd get expelled for a fake fight, but not for a real fight?
Depending on who it was, yeah. I mean, we started with 45, we ended with 33.
So
like,
you,
guys,
we're like play fighting around, teacher walks in the yeah. room. Mm-hmm. The only way out is for me to like really punch you in the face?
Not exactly. Like,
it was a real fight!
Like,
it was a real fight.
I promise, we hated each other. Like, play fighting, it was at least as bad as real fighting. Okay. You get like a week suspension.
Okay, and then I could see that of a... hey, there's no difference between real fighting and play fighting.
I think because they don't want kids to get injured. Really, they don't want one lawsuit for a small school. It could wipe you out,
yeah.
you know? So they want to avoid. That's why we used to play football
yeah.
and a kid broke his collarbone.
Yeah.
And they, he's like, I'm not going to tell them that it was during football because they have told us 100 times we can't play tackle football outside.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And the school never knew. But like they just wanted to cover their ass because they, you know. It's a small school. They didn't want to get sued.
Yeah. So I've been trying to avoid doing too much sports stuff as we're talking today, because we definitely could do 20 minutes on Adam Gase. But did you see the Melvin Gordon Uber video this weekend?
Yeah. So can you explain exactly what it was? I did see it.
Yeah. So and this is involves an athlete, but it's not like a sports related story for the
yeah, more of a feel good yeah. story. No, you don't have to do anything yeah. about sports.
So Melvin Gordon, he is a player that is on the San Diego Chargers. They had a football game this past weekend in Baltimore. And so he was getting a ride somewhere in the city, and he was filming himself like on, I don't know if he was recording or if he was on, Periscope or Instagram Live, I presume. And mm-hmm. he was like filming his conversation. It was like a reverse taxi cab confessions where he was streaming and the driver didn't know he was being recorded, which I think, again, is sort of gets into some, sketchy legal territory.
Yeah, especially in California. I think they were probably in Baltimore, but in California, I don't think you're allowed to do that, yeah. right? You have to tell the person you're recording.
And he was asking the Uber driver about what he thought was going to happen in the football game tomorrow, and the Uber driver was talking about how he felt like that Baltimore was going to kick San Diego's ass, and he was not super derogatory, mostly towards Philip Rivers. The Uber driver did not seem to think about too highly of the quarterback of the San Diego Chargers. Melvin Gordon mm-hmm. Put up a good fight, so he's a Hall of Famer. But yeah. I've been surprised that we have not seen more videos this week of comedians, actors, podcasters doing the Melvin Gordon in the backseat of Ubers and Lyfts this week.
I think any good publicist has their person doing it. I also like the idea of like a C-list celebrity being like, hey, do you know who like Johnny Knoxville is? And the guy's like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from Jackass and The Ringer. And he's like, no, sorry. Oh, you Bill Simmons, The Ringer, you mean? Yeah. So I do think, right, if you're like a B-list celebrity, that's the move this week. Post that Melvin Gordon type video.
Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go get in an Uber later on today. And I'm just going to be like asking like the Uber driver, like, hey, do you listen to Robin Akiva Need a Podcast?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I would say you'd need at least to get 20,000
like,
Ubers
like,
mathematically.
I'm sorry, what?
What's a podcast?
Yeah, like, you know, you, we'll start with you never heard
start
of
with,
are Robin
Are you familiar
Akiva?
With the show Survivor? Are you familiar with the show Survivor? Start there. How like, what if you made a YouTube video where, you know, like, how famous do you have to be where it's at least like 50-50 for you to get recognized?
I think it would be funny because the person would obviously like have no idea, and then like to act like really like indignant about it, like, well, wait, hold on, are you saying you never heard of that? But how famous? Like, I don't know what's the baseline for famous. You want like a social media following?
Yeah, or you could also do like, it would be fun maybe to like go on Uber and be like, yeah, I'm you know, Jeff Bezos's new son. Like, that's my mom. She's dating.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos.
This should be sort of like the dividing line for the Celebrity Big Brother cast of that. This is that when they announce this sometime in the next week, that the each person, you know, calls an Uber to their house, mm-hmm. and then they are Instagram living, and then they ask the Uber driver, hey, so have you ever heard of blank? And then the Uber driver's like, nope. Like, they just turn the car around.
Yeah, they don't pick you up. What if they like sort of recognize you but don't know your name? It's like Ross Matthews, and they're like, oh yeah, you were on Jay Leno, like that. Then you could get in, right?
No,
they need to know your full name.
Yeah, Ross Matthews has to be in the like, hey, what do you think of Ross Matthews? And it's like, I never mm-hmm. heard of him. Like, really? Like, yep, all right. Well, just take me back.
That's a bummer. What if you get like three? It's sort of a, it's like a tribunal. You get three Uber drivers and two of them have to have heard of you.
Two out of three? I'll take
one out of three.
Because
you can always have like one out of three?
One out of three. If you go 0 for 3 on the Uber driver.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's it.
But a lot of times it's like you're not famous. It's like you did something. It's like, oh, you know, they're like, you're talking about Antonio Brown on the Masked Singer show. Like, Antonio Brown isn't famous, but he's like, oh, but he's a big star. You know, he's a big football star. So like, there's a weird level of fame where he's not famous, but he is a celebrity, if that makes any sense, mm-hmm. for being such a good player.
Yeah. Kiva, are you getting any Sopranos fatigue?
Yeah. So if you, like, my Twitter feed has mostly been just like Alan Sepinwall retweeting his book. And I'm a big Sopranos guy.
And a big Alan Sepinwall guy.
Yeah, and a big Alan Sepinwall, but I'm not super, I don't know, these things have to come around. Like, right now, I was thinking the other day, like, ooh, I should rewatch The Wire. But I don't have that for The Sopranos. People have asked us to put The Sopranos on the wheel. Mm-hmm. We have not done so yet. I don't know if you'd ever be interested in putting Sopranos in the fishbowl.
I think that The Sopranos is super, and my wife would be, you know, furious to hear me say that, or furio to hear me say that, because mm-hmm. that, you know, Sopranos is gospel. She doesn't want to hear anything bad about it. But I kind of feel like The Sopranos had like a good run, but was kind of the emperor had no clothes for the last 2.5 seasons of the show.
I agree, but we'd be watching season 3, episode 7. We wouldn't have to worry about, you know, going to New Hampshire or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely went on a little too long. Season 3, episode 7 is called Second Opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Junior hallucinates about FBI agents offering to cure his cancer if he cooperates with them.
Mm-hmm.
Tony and Junior visit another doctor, recommends he gets chemo. Carmela goes to Dr. Melfi.
Yeah. Doesn't sound that fun.
She breaks down as she realizes her own ignorance about Tony's job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carmela visits Meadow.
And I love The Sopranos. And I love The Sopranos. And I say it shouldn't go into the fish tank. And it's not, doesn't mean The Sopranos stink. And it doesn't mean, but some things are good for the fishbowl and some things aren't.
Yeah, I agree. And some things come in the middle of a, you know, like in the middle of a season where there, you need more context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So okay. I'm not sure that how this would play.
Okay. Keith, anything else you wanted to get into before we start to look at the wheel?
No, that's it. I mean, I'm glad we learned all, you know, so much about cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In every which way.
Yeah, in every way.
Mm-hmm.
For the sequel, I'll save the best tie into the cheating story. I don't think I could tell now.
I need to send some hot text to the former Mrs. Bezos. That might be the one person that it's worth it to go through the divorce with my wife for the.
Yeah, she is a very. I mean, like, let's be honest. If you asked your wife, like, hey, like, would you be mad if I tried to pick up Mackenzie Bezos?
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't be mad, right? Like, no, hey, don't worry. Trust me, you'll get half.
I don't know my wife particularly well. There's nothing that you could say surefire will not upset her. But
right. So my wife is the opposite. My wife sort of indifferent towards me in like a sitcom wife type of way. Whereas if I was like, hey, Mayor, can I go after Mackenzie Bezos? She'd be like, oh, God, please. Is she going to do your laundry? Like, at least she can have you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she'd also be like with that, with the lady who works behind the counter at the supermarket. Like, listen, she's got no confidence in me. Like, oh, trust me, you could not pull that. I'm like, oh, you don't think I could land the lady behind the supermarket? Like, no, you definitely could not.
Not even with the honeycomb line?
Not even with the honeycomb home with me. Like, I don't. So she has no faith. She'd be like, all right, you do whatever you want. Like, nobody's going to
be. Is she seeing somebody, Mackenzie Bezos?
That hasn't leaked yet.
Is she unhinged?
Some people think that the woman, by the way, do you know the woman who is his alleged
mistress?
Paramour?
Yes.
Mistress shares a child with Tony Gonzalez, speaking of the NFL. Which we were
Yes.
That's like Tony Gonzalez has a kid with her, and then he's married to a woman named October.
So she has a type, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that was a good joke. Yes. Bald.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So there you go. Lauren Sanchez.
But I do like Tony Gonzalez's new lady's name is October. Great name.
Oh, okay. All right. Be it better for a baseball player's new wife.
For Tony Gonzalez, it should be December, because that's really when he shined. He didn't really do anything ever in the playoffs, but he was like Mr.
December.
I think
he went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He never won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Sopranos prequel movie, is that going to be good?
I don't think so.
No.
David Chase, like, I mean, has he done anything since The Sopranos? What has he done?
I don't think he's really done anything, but I do feel like
I'm not a big fan of what David Simon has done. Like, mm-hmm. It seems like it's getting worse. Like, I don't watch The Deuce. Treme was fine, but like, wasn't excited about it.
Yeah.
But like, Simon is, you know, I think it makes sense. It's like, you know, the same way with like classic authors back in the day. A lot of times they had one or two stories in them. Like, they're not going to age well. Like, there's nothing else for them to give. The same way an athlete should have to retire. Like, you know. Put some of these guys out to pasture.
Yeah.
Let's get some new voices in there.
And I do feel like that reading some of these David Chase interviews this past week, I do feel like that there is more fuel for the Tony not dead side.
Oh, I thought he sort of implied that he was, but I didn't really read all these things, mm-hmm. Like whether Tony was dead or not.
It might be a Rorschach.
I mean, has he admitted that it was a mistake to...
No,
not leave the HBO thing on the screen.
No.
So just like assuming that everyone's cable went out, like he pranked us with his show.
No, he will never admit any mistake.
Did you think your cable went out? I think everyone did, right?
Yeah, I think I thought. I don't know if we were watching live or if we started it like on DVR a couple minutes behind, and we're like, mm-hmm. Wait, what happened? Yeah, not good. Okay, all right, Keeve, are you ready to start to look towards the wheel?
Yeah, let's get to the mailbag.
Okay. All right. Before we get there, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor this week. And those are our friends over at betonline.ag. What, you thought the football season was over? No, playoffs, baby. Tony Gonzalez might not be there, but you can be. It's the new year, and the greatest time of the year for football is here. Just ask Melvin Gordon. The NFL playoffs, as I've been saying for months, there's only one place to get in on all the action. That's betonline.ag. Visit betonline.ag today and get a 50% bonus. Yes, a 50% sign up bonus when you use the promo code podcast1, all one word. AFC NFC divisional round matchups taking place with one win to reach the divisional championship games. You don't want to miss any of the four games this Saturday and Sunday. Go online or use your mobile phone to sign up today and try in-game live betting where you can participate with all of the action on every play. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. The NFL divisional round matchups this weekend. Don't miss out. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Keith.
Love it.
All right.
All right. I think going forward in the mailbag, Rob, I think I should limit every week the mailbag suggestions to the best five we get every week.
Best five of the week.
What do you think
week.
About that? And I could go lower, but I think it should be a formal number.
Okay. Well,
because people call in and be like, hey, I sent you something 2 months ago and it didn't make it. It's like, you know, sometimes I have like the bag is endless, but it's sort of tiered. Like there's tier one things that have a real chance to get on. There's like tier four things that are just kind of jokes and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But I think we should limit it to about four or five. So because we're trying to cut the mailbag
yes.
length down also on the
agree.
Podcast in general.
I think that should be good. I don't know what is the metric you're going to use for determining the top five, baby?
I mean, I've been doing it all along, like, and the good ones will stay in the bag. I'm not going to yeah. cut the things I don't mention. They just might get read in a week or two. Or,
yeah.
And we get a lot of suggestions at this point also.
The only thing is, so I feel like that there is, I saw some comments of, hey, Robin Akiva didn't call me last week or, you know, mm-hmm. hey, my ideas didn't get read. And I feel yeah. like that we get hit with that only certain people are getting phone calls, getting their ideas yeah. into the mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but listen, this is blind. Like, it's not like I'm like, hey, these are all of our friends. We're, you know, we're just including them. People complained about who we called. Like, it was, I think four of the five numbers were completely random. Like, they literally, you know, we picked the numbers out. So it wasn't like we were calling our friends.
Okay.
And a couple of people we called last week we never heard of even. All right, so here's our fave five for the week. Let's start off with Phil T.
Phil T.
Phil T says, or Phil from Canada?
Yeah. How do you sign the message?
I don't know. I don't know. He says, hey, Robin Akiva. I'm going to introduce you to something called Millennial Boot Camp with Phil T.
Okay.
I guess he does want to be called yeah. Phil T. It's inspired by his dad, Sean T. He wants to know, do we have what it takes to learn the ins and outs of millennial culture from a 24-year-old man with absolutely zero credentials in under 60 minutes? Well, he doesn't know how this podcast yeah. works under 60 minutes. The absurdity of millennial culture and memes have always fascinated Phil. In fact, I wholeheartedly believe that's the only thing I'm truly passionate about. Here are some of the topics I could shed light on for you guys if you're interested. Number one, the evolution of millennial slang. Who's saying what? What's the history of it, where it came from, and why its relevance fades? Where did the spelling of thick with two C's come from? Find out from your boy, Phil T.
Mm-hmm.
Current hot slang that will probably fall out of relevancy sooner rather than later because of the elderly piping in, like shade, tea, cis, mood, wig, yass, etc. Etc. is like modern slang.
Mm-hmm.
Is cis big? I didn't know cis was big.
Yeah, no, I've heard that.
I guess it like took over for bro. Mood, I know. I don't know. Like people say, oh, that's a mood. I don't always know what they're talking about, mm-hmm. but I get it. Yass.
Yeah.
Should we start? Yass Queen is over, right?
I think it's still yes, happening, Queen. But I think it's on, you know,
could we
Sopranos
bring up
season yes. Five.
Yeah, they're in New Hampshire. They're in New Hampshire. Can we start Yass King each other? Like if you have a good joke, instead of laughing, you give me a Yass King and I'll give you a Yass King.
Yass Kiev.
No, well, but then how could I? What do I say to you?
I don't know.
It's King. I think Yass King works.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to be
reclaimed. Reclaim the you know the, from the ladies the Yassing.
Mm-hmm.
He's also going to explain like how the old words went away, like Bay YOLO lit.
Yeah, I'm on board with this. But
yeah,
now,
I think this is really good. But the truth is, he gives us like a 10,000 word thing.
Yeah, I think we should probably narrow it down a little bit. Or if
well,
you know,
I think
like,
yeah, he should come up with maybe like 10 different things, like a meme and
a quiz.
And,
yeah.
Know.
So that's all good.
So it's called Millennial Boot Camp. Are you up for Millennial Boot Camp?
It's not Millennial Slang is Trash.
No,
okay.
I think Millennial Boot Camp is a good name.
That's fine. But I kind of feel like that. Where are the Gen Zers? I know we have millennial listeners. Do we have any Gen Z listeners besides?
We're not going to know what they are even saying. I've checked out my sister's Twitter feed a couple times. She is 17. Like none of it is in English. You will not know one thing she said.
Yeah. So All right, so let's maybe that's the sequel. So let's Millennium Boot Camp. I'm in now. I know
maybe Phil T has a younger sibling after that that could help us.
And then, but is Phil T uncontested for this? I feel like that there has been.
Oh no,
some
he's very contested
for this.
Yes, there's a lot of jockeying. Jess East.
Yes,
this was actually her idea first. Phil T went up, went at her, and said, "You didn't even know what Flex was. How could you be the millennial correspondent?"
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I think she yielded the floor to Phil T because he gave us, we'll get her in for something else if she wants to be on so bad. But yeah, I think Phil T Millennial Boot Camp. I think people will like that.
I'm in.
Okay. Now, do you think like a lot of people saying we don't want the things that get put on the wheel to come up right away that they haven't earned? Like
yeah,
you said,
I'd like them to have some time to ripen on the vine.
So should we put it on next week's wheel
going
forward?
No, that's not the show. No.
Okay, that's the big thing. That's not the show, guys.
I mean, the show is that something could come up that we're not controlling it. You know, it's very much anything could happen.
Okay, number two, Ben says, you guys walked quickly past stealing Declaration of Independence a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Why don't you watch National Treasure, a movie generally liked while still being mockable, talk about the movie, critique their stealing the Declaration, and add your ideas, Rob and Akiva, for how you would steal the Declaration of Independence.
I don't know. Not that exciting.
I do love the podcast name, Rob and Akiva Steal the Declaration of Independence. That is a funny podcast name.
Sure. But
maybe the name isn't worth it because I love the podcast name. I can't believe it's just banned.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's a lot there to watch National Treasure?
I think in terms of movies, it is in a good sweet spot where it's good enough that it's not like, oh, my God, there's an awful movie. And some people have seen it. It's bad enough that it's definitely not beloved. You can make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say let's put it in the waiting room and see if like people really want us to watch National Treasure.
OK. All right.
I'm also more apt to put in a TV show than a movie because it's just a lot less watching.
Mm-hmm.
And we are lazy.
Yeah.
I made it very clear. Someone kept saying like, hey, put, you know, this thing on. It's like you guys. People have the ideas like Rob and Akiva go to a museum or go to a thrift shop. I said we have a very hard no leaving the house rule for these pitches.
Right, right.
That is a hard and fast rule. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd really have to come up with something like someone hands Rob and Akiva $1 million on the street for us to leave our houses. Like there's no like right now. I don't think we're willing to leave. Like don't pitch us something that involves us getting up.
Right. I'm not saying that it's a hard and fast rule of there's nothing that could
it's
happen.
It's working against you. It's working against you if your pitch involves us like, you know, leaving.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah, no on the Declaration of Independence right now.
Okay. Number three.
Yeah.
This is called Rob Goes to Temple. After Rob and Akiva's discussion of Hanukkah this past month, mm-hmm. it became clear that Akiva's knowledge of Judaism, along with Rob's interest, could make for a great podcast. Actually, I'm sorry, I don't know who sent this in. In this episode, Akiva could explain some of Judaism's crazy stories, holidays, and traditions. Akiva could make up some parts, reversing roles from the Star Wars podcast where everything could be truthful. This podcast would be both informative and entertaining.
This is, you're going to tell me the story of Hanukkah?
No, that would be out of season.
Yes.
I think they want me to like explain. Well, so there was a few similar things and people were going back and forth on Twitter about this, too. Some people wanted me to like explain a specific part of the Bible to you.
Mm-hmm.
Other people wanted me to explain like a couple maybe Jewish practices to you.
I mean, if you feel like that, oh, yeah, this will be great. I can nail this, but it's hard for me to. You say
I mean, I definitely have like the expert level knowledge of it that like I could explain it well.
Is it an interesting podcast?
Right. I think it could be. I haven't decided yet what would be good. And also, would it be funny or interesting? Because like, I don't know, like the story of Rabbi Akiva, the guy I'm ultimately named after, is interesting, but it's not funny. You know,
mm-hmm.
like that would be interesting to do that. Nobody's ever done a podcast like that. It would be good. I think it would be a good podcast, but I don't think it would be funny. Plus I'd almost like have to kind of be even more serious.
Okay.
Like I wouldn't do the Bible stuff with like fake stories because people would not like that.
Okay. It does not
some people think
it does not
story.
Stand out to me as okay. a must have, but you know,
I'm gonna put it in the waiting room unless you say absolutely not. And if somebody says, hey, this is the one thing you should focus on, listen. And also sometimes some of the crazy things we do, we don't like to tell people about because then we sound even crazier.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's number three. I like this one, Rob.
Okay.
last week we had a discussion. Taylor Cotta wrote in and said, put Degrassi in the fishbowl. Watch season 3, episode 7 of Degrassi, the new generation, the next generation, something.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a discussion over what was more famous. Do you remember?
The Brady Bunch or Degrassi?
The Brady Bunch or Degrassi. So Edwin Johnson
wrote
in and said, here's a podcast. Degrassi versus the Brady Bunch. What is better? Take it out of the fishbowl. Put it on the wheel. The age-old question people have been asking for millennia. Degrassi versus the Brady Bunch.
I don't know if the question is what is better, because I have no baseline to tell you if Degrassi is good or not.
Well, we'd watch an episode of it. We'd watch one episode of each, probably season 3, episode 7 of each.
I guess so.
We'd decide.
I don't know if anybody is saying the Brady Bunch is good. I don't know necessarily.
A lot of people, a lot of what's before millennial, Gen Y. Boomers, I don't know.
Yeah, the Gen Y.
A
I think
lot
is,
of people wrote in and was like, "How dare you besmirch the great name of the Brady Bunch by mentioning this trash show I've never heard of, Degrassi?"
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the youth, you know, don't care about the Brady Bunch. But there was more Brady Bunch defenders than Degrassi defenders, I think.
Right. Again, I don't know anything about either version of Degrassi, but
well, we definitely have a Degrassi expert. Would we need a Brady Bunch expert also, or no? Because we kind of both watched it.
The thing is, the Brady Bunch is so iconic, you don't need a Brady Bunch expert. Everybody
has a baseline knowledge of
the Brady Bunch, whereas Degrassi.
I saw the Brady Bunch movie in the theater.
You know, it's like I'm sure I have no doubt there are people that love Degrassi, but I think that the Brady Bunch is far more ubiquitous in terms of the popular culture.
Might be changing.
It certainly is changing. Yeah. But
I don't think they're going to reboot the Brady Bunch, but they could probably.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you need.
You could get a real blended family in there. I don't know. It could work.
I guess so. That being said, like the Brady Bunch has far more brand name recognition than, you know, either version of Degrassi.
Mm. Well, Degrassi has Drake. He's got more brand recognition
at
this point.
Drake is a big star. But just because, you know, so is George Clooney. It doesn't mean that
Sisters.
You know, that a sitcom that he was on, or, you know, that he was on.
I gave you the show Sisters. He was Falconer.
Right.
Sisters doesn't have any cachet up the yin yang.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't know how you necessarily rate them or compare them. Like,
We don't have to who cares if we decide a winner? It's just called Degrassi versus the Brady Bunch. We could judge it on a whole number of criteria, or we could just watch both.
So this could be the first in a series of that. If we had two people on the podcast to debate, and then you and I ultimately settled the debate. I think that that's interesting. I like the idea that
I don't dislike it, but we're giving a lot of the podcast over to strangers at that point.
Okay. Then,
you know what I mean?
Then I don't know what
we're giving them too much heavy lifting.
What the show would be.
Well, I think a lot of it would be a Degrassi explainer. Like we'd talk about the episodes. And then, you know, but with Degrassi, we'd get maybe more of an explanation from TCBY.
I mean, isn't it already in the fishbowl? How much are we doing with Degrassi?
We're taking it out of the fishbowl and putting it on the wheel in this scenario. Okay. That was the idea. It's like, this debate is raging so hot. We need to get the answer, Degrassi versus, how about this? We've never done this before. Should we put up a poll? Should we do the Degrassi versus Brady Bunch podcast?
And take it out of the fishbowl.
Well, for this week, we'll take it out of the fishbowl. But yeah, should we do Degrassi versus Brady Bunch? Add that to the wheel?
Let it be a poll. Let it be a poll. But
will you let the listeners
we should
decide?
Remove the filibuster option of, I think it needs to be that in our polls, does it need to be at least 60? 60%?
I think 60, yeah. I think if only 52% want a podcast, that's not worth it. I think we need 60, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Well, you think less? Oh, if you think it's a majority, that's fine.
No, I want more. I want at least more than 60.
You
maybe
want
70.
Do you want how about two-thirds?
Okay, two-thirds. 66.
Perfect. Okay. Why not 67? Okay,
whatever.
Okay. All right, fine. So, but we'll take, if for some reason Degrassi comes out right now, it doesn't count. All right, so that was number 4. We got one more, and then we'll spin the wheel.
And
we'll get everybody
no
out of here.
Sort of like, hey, #Degrassi Nation, I need you guys to vote in this poll. these jokers think that that Brady Bunch.
Yeah, we don't have Kirk Clark. This is just on Twitter. We don't have anybody like judging if people there's too many votes coming from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, or anything.
Right. Right.
All right, we got one more Phil T idea because I really like it.
Okay.
And this was he said this beforehand, so you think he's getting greedy, but really this was his first idea, and then the other one came up. He says, "I assume that neither of you have used Tinder, and this may be too close to the Rehab Bachelorette. Don't even talk to me about the Rehab Bachelorette. By the way, I need guys in like if you are single, I still need like one or two more guys. So if you're a guy in New York or LA or Chicago, Seattle, hit me up." If this is too close to the Rehab Bachelorette territory, but maybe it would be fun for you guys to build someone's profile on Tinder, Bumble, that bagel one. I feel like you got to know all the dating names if you're going to be our millennial expert, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to basically, he writes the whole thing, but do you want to build someone's Tinder profile for them?
What,
he wants to be our guinea pig.
Like, what are we building?
Like, we're going to, I guess it's too visual, right? Like, we're picking his pictures. We're, like, writing. So, someone said, like, a lot of people write, like, I love tacos and The Office. Like, that's very popular with, like, basic people,
yeah.
Right? Like, I love dogs, tacos, and watching The Office 35 times in a row. But, like, we come up with something better for Phil, like a, like, intro line. I guess, like, pictures are too visual. Mm. Like, do you want to build someone's Tinder bio?
Okay. What about this?
And then maybe I think what happens also is he matches with people and then we give him like on air, we tell him what to say to them.
Yeah. Let me counter propose. Okay.
Okay.
All right. What if there's a woman that says,
yes,
I keep meeting the wrong guys, Robin Akiva. I want you to run my Tinder. Because I need your help to find a nice guy, and then me and you will seize control of a Tinder.
I love it.
We go through it. We say who to swipe. We say.
I was thinking. I was thinking that we could even put it on a thing, but I guess for privacy reasons we can't. Like that, we could sort of record it and put it on after. We probably can't do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is a good idea. The only problem is that people aren't looking at what the guys look like.
Well, we have to describe it. I don't know exactly how we would do it if we're like on like a FaceTime.
But you're saying it's a similar idea. We're just kicking Phil T out and we're turning into a woman.
Right. Because
Do you think you'd be better at finding a woman men or finding a man women? A woman?
I think we'd be better
at finding a woman a guy
because we know nothing really about helping guys meet women. But. I think, would be able to be...
Well, we know guys. We could also probably do a better job of finding another guy. If women are involved, we're pretty clueless. We could do either of those.
Oh, so that are we... Would we know about finding another guy for a guy?
We know guys more than anybody. We're guys.
I feel like that we'd be more lost than...
We probably would be lost. But no. I think we'd be better at finding a guy for a guy... Than anything to do with women.
You think we'd be better at finding a guy for a guy? I don't know about that.
We'd be best at finding a guy for a woman.
Yes.
But second, we'd be best at finding a guy for a guy. Third, a woman for a guy. And fourth, a woman for a woman. Because we know nothing about women.
I don't know. Would we be better or worse at finding... I don't think we'd be good at either. I think that we'd be equally bad.
We'll be bad at all four of them. I'm just ranking them in terms of like... What's better, my forehand or my backhand? They're both terrible, but one of them has to be better than the other one, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. That should be the debate. Would we be worse at finding worst of worst would be finding a woman for a woman. That would be worst of four out of four.
Yes.
Absolute
There's
worst.
No men involved. We know we pretty much clueless.
Yeah, I think, but it would be a good debate. Would we be worse at finding a woman for a guy or a guy for a guy?
Fine. So for this, do you want to put this on the wheel now? Because I'm fine with it. I will say, if you are interested in men, then you can apply. Because we're only
we'll give it a shot. Yeah. So, if you
should
would
it be
like
one person or is it a series of people?
It's one person. So let's.
I got another. Okay. Can I add one thing? Supposedly, women. Have hundreds of options on the Tinder type sites where sometimes men don't.
Mm-hmm.
So this will actually be good because we could really swipe through fellas. If a guy comes and he's like a dork, wouldn't be Phil T, he's cool. But let's say he's a dork, he might have like four options and then the podcast is over after 5 minutes.
Right.
Whereas a woman, we got like 500 dudes to message.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not going to be we're going to help a guy meet find a woman. That's
yeah. So if you're looking for a fella,
yeah,
be you a man or a woman or whatever.
Yes,
then you could nominate yourself. But more importantly, the Rehab Chorette's still going.
Okay.
So if you are single, you should be asking.
All right,
about
so this
that.
Is.
But yes, no, I think we should do this. Are we adding? What's this called?
Okay. So, well, hold on. What we need to do first is somebody, mm-hmm. if you would like Robin Akiva to take over your dating profile, mm-hmm. then you need to write to Akiva at Need a Podcast.
Just Akiva26. Tweet at me. Just tweet at me.
Tweet at Akiva or Need a Podcast at robinswebsite.com or Seinfeld at postshowrecaps.com and then say, Akiva, I would be up for you and Rob to take over my dating. What would you call the dating app?
Yeah, the profile, like my Tinder profile.
Okay, so this is
we might change their picture, but really, I think what's the key? The key is we're going to help them with their banter, right?
Yes.
We're going to send messages to guys.
Not after this week, but. Yeah, we're gonna pick out the
might
people.
Come on, no
we point. Are gonna tell them yeah. who to swipe on.
Yeah, but also once we swipe them, I think the thing is that we're gonna be talking for the girl.
Well, I don't know how we do that all in one podcast. I think that we're sort of
well, we're swiping live. Listen, if a woman says yes to a guy, there's a good chance this guy is gonna be a little thirsty. He's gonna be jumping right in.
Okay,
and he'd be like, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah,
and then we'll be responding, not our guest.
Okay.
I mean, they could help us. Okay. We won't make dates for them without their permission.
So maybe it's like a two-part where we record maybe twice with them in the episode where it's like.
We'll, no, I think you're overestimating how long this takes.
Maybe. I don't know anything.
I don't know. Again, we've also never been on these sites. We could literally every word we could have just said is yeah. possibly
and
wrong.
And so like it will be like on a Google Hangout, like me and you will be on the Google Hangout. And then the third person we're talking to is like holding their phone up.
We'll
to
have
the
their screen. Yeah, their phone. The we'll be so able to see their phone.
We're getting sort of real time.
It would be cool if the listeners could see it, but I just don't know how
we'll
you could
have
do
to
that.
Describe
I guess we could do it.
We'll describe them.
Well, I think you could do it. I don't think it's invading their privacy. It doesn't
I think
have
this
their
is a little bit like Melvin
number.
Gordon in the Uber. I don't think that we'd like if, you know, Jimmy is a guy on Tinder. Like, I don't know if necessarily like, you know, his pick.
No, because people post to Reddit, like all these things. Like, I think you can do it. Well, how about this? You, millennials write in and let us know if we
I
can do that,
that
also.
I think the person who we're talking to is going to be less likely. Like, I think this will hurt our candidates who want to come on if we're saying that we're going to be, you know, filming the video of this.
Well, no, it's not a video of them. It's just of their phone.
Yeah,
like,
let's work that part out later. Let's
okay,
not get
so are we putting this on the wheel?
No, because we need to find out okay, if there are fine. Any people so, that are would like this.
Okay. So what's this and what's this called? So right now it's just the waiting room. But what you know what the podcast is called?
This is
Tinder Takeover. That I mean, probably has happened already.
Yeah, dating app there's, takeover.
Yeah. It but it is possible that there's like 12.
Is it a takeover, you know, or makeover?
Oh, dating app makeover. That's good.
It's not really a makeover because we're not really.
And by the way, people were like, when we came up with Millennial Judge, which is also in the waiting room, people were like, well, there's a podcast that does that. Yeah, we're not doing 500 of them. We want to do one, and that podcast doesn't have a Millennial Judge. We have a Millennial Judge. That podcast is an old white guy. We have a young white lady.
Yeah.
so don't, like, people, yes, we're, yeah, if it was 500 episodes, then it's copying. But you could, yeah, people could have the same idea. We do one-offs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We do a, you know, yeah, this is a podcast where we spin a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to spin the wheel right now.
That's right.
We pick a topic.
Okay. All right. So then that is not going on the wheel yet. That's going to the wheel waiting room. But Keeve, is it time
yes.
yet to yep. add the Robin Akiva, what is it? What are we calling it? The Renapturalette?
I think we need one more week.
One more week.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but okay. I think let's just say progress has been made, but we do need one more week.
Okay. All right. Great.
The Rehab Chorette.
All right. So that's good to know. All right. So Keeve, anything else? Anything else for the fishbowl?
No. So no, there was five things. That's the rule. Can't go any further. We're gonna have fishbowl has to wait till next week. Plus the fishbowl is rather full right now. I think we're really leaning towards. We need more regular. We don't need more regular ideas, but we need regular ideas more than we need fishbowl ideas. So just to recap, we added Millennial Boot Camp.
Yeah.
And we put Robin Akiva, Rob Goes to Temple, Degrassi versus the Brady Bunch, Dating App Makeover, and National Treasure in the Waiting Room.
Okay. All right.
They're not dead.
Here's what is on the wheel right now. CSI New York, which was vetoed but 2 weeks ago. Season 3, Episode 7, which is now at a very plump 7 spaces on the wheel. Coin flip. That's where then we will select 2 other spins, and then Rob and Akiva will flip a coin. Or no, I'm sorry. We flip a coin, and then it's Rob and Akiva's choice. That's right.
Yes.
Then we have the Oregon Trail, we have the Rise and Fall of JTT, The Price is Right, Conspirapod, sort of been a forgotten spot on the wheel, the TV mm-hmm. show theme song bracket. Chester's ready to go at a moment's notice with that.
Look, Chester, we call him right now, he'd be on the air.
Okay, MTV shows are trash with Millennial Judge Ali Lasher, April 13th, 1994, Jeopardy, Leprechaun 2, and Millennial Boot Camp. Okay.
Pretty strong wheel, honestly. We really cut out the trash, except for CSI New York. I got no idea what to do there.
Okay. Well, 1 week, we're just going to have to bite the bullet. Okay. You're
going to have to buy 4 bullets and watch it 4 times, because that's what people want us to do.
All right. Really? Remember, that was going to be the podcast. We're going to watch the same episode, CSI New York,
every single week. We would have already been committed to like an inside.
CSI Tulsa, is that what you said earlier? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's go. Spin the wheel. Banter cast off the wheel. Oh, actually, going back to, this is episode number 18, Keeve.
Yeah, I know what it is. Yes.
What was episode number 8 of Robin?
It was
Keeve?
Doing it backwards. It was an emergency episode where we started by spinning a wheel. And so it was, we watched season 3, episode 7. We watched the episode of Seinfeld that we had not, at that point, that I had never done. We watched an episode of Seinfeld that only you and Chester had talked about.
What happened to the taking the quiz versus the 9-year-old girl? Because I met her mom recently.
Recently?
Yeah. She was at one of the Survivor after parties.
Was she your Uber driver? And she was like, hey, Rob Cesternino.
No, she was at one of these Survivor after parties. And she said, my daughter wants to take you and Akiva on in the Seinfeld trivia challenge.
Yeah. Well, you sort of put the kibosh on that.
No, I was open to it.
We said we needed to add, it's not a full episode, so we need to figure out a point where we could sort of add that in the second part of an episode.
Could we have one episode? What about a potpourri on the wheel where it's like we have
Why don't you wait till next week's mailbag? They got a couple ideas that that you'd like.
So like if we have like one episode that it's like the turducken episode where it's like
There are 2 different ideas like that. We could get to them next week. Yes.
All right. We'll come back to it. All right. You're ready for the spin, Keeve?
I am ready.
All right, Keeve. Let's spin the wheel. Here we go. Wheel is turning big. It's not going to be season 3, episode number 7. It is going to be.
Big wheel keeps on turning.
Akiva. Yeah. Conspirapod.
We almost forgot about it. And got to bring back Antonio Pazzaro.
Okay. All right.
I haven't heard from Antonio in a while. I hope he's, out there.
All right. So the truth is out there.
I've forgotten about us.
Mm-hmm. Antonio's out there, hopefully. So let's touch base with Antonio. What do we do if then Antonio says, not a good week?
Well, I think we got to find a different conspirator.
Okay. So we have, then we'll find, have a new person who.
We'll give him a couple options for times, but yeah, I think we can't do doing it backwards again. That didn't work. You know, that's for emergencies only.
Did not play. Okay. All right.
I think it played, except that with his wheel spin didn't do us any favors. I think if we, mm-hmm. It was a fun idea to do once. And also, should people send their conspiracy theories in? Because they haven't
done that
yet.
If they have good ones to talk about, then go ahead and send them in to needapodcast@robisawebsite.com or Seinfeld@postshowrecaps.com.
Yeah, and if you have a good one you don't want me to see, tweet at Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Let Antonio know. And so, because I'd rather us be surprised with some of these conspiracies, right? These are like guiding us through the conspiracy cosmos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think.
All right. Akiva. So good work today.
Listen, it was we had to do a lot of heavy lifting. There was no, this was the first top podcast ever where it was just two dudes talking about nothing.
Yeah, I hope you guys liked it. I'm sure you guys will tell us either way. So we will surely hear from you guys about what you thought about the episode number 17, or is it 18? I can't believe it's Just Banter. Sure. Which did win? That I did. I had said that. I still say that Just does not sound like Not, but
yeah, Just does. It doesn't sound like Not, but nobody thought you were right there. And usually, people think I'm wrong, but yeah, no, everyone said it can't be. I can't believe it's all banter, and it's not all banter because we did the wheel. Like there would have had to be no wheel, no fishbowl,
okay,
no mailbag.
All right. At Kiev 26, Akiva, we haven't talked about our podcast ratings and reviews recently.
Yeah, we need more of those. Yeah.
Okay. You can go ahead and leave us those ratings and review if you go to robhasawebsite.com/ what is it? NAP? Is that it? Would that even get you there? Is it that easy?
I have no idea.
robhasawebsite.com/NAP. Maybe not. Oh yeah, even that. That'll get you there to our iTunes store and our latest ratings and reviews. Let me give you just a couple. The podcast review by Using My Body is from William 4192. I have a small water on my left. Maybe it's wart on my left middle finger.
Probably wart.
Perhaps my greatest finger of the 10 I have, this podcast is like my wart. I sort of want to get rid of it, but I can't bring myself to cut it off. I feel like if I do, I'll lose part of me, and that scares me. I don't want to lose part of me, even if it most may see it as an undesirable part, while many may tell me just cut off the wart. I just can't. It may be the part of me that makes me me. I refuse to not listen to this podcast. It may or may not be the greatest part of my podcast life, but it is part of me, and I'm going to keep it. You should also. Rob is very liable. I'm hoping that this was an autocorrect from likable.
Yeah,
Alicia probably. Is a funny person.
Alicia is a funny person.
Nothing happens.
I get a lot of Avikas. People call me Avika.
Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. It just sits there and entertains me. I guess that is enough.
Mm. William might be going through something. You should get that wart checked out, I think.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is from a person named George who wrote, second review I've ever written, 5 stars. The first one I wrote minutes before this review. It was for a podcast whose most recent episode was about a man responsible for saving 20,000 Hungarian Jews from the Holocaust. Forgive my priorities. Thanks for the hours of enjoyable nonsense.
You should put that on the wheel.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Those are our latest reviews. 119 5-star reviews and counting.
Mm-hmm. If we get up to 1,000 by next week, I will do the podcast naked.
Don't give people ideas for the wheel, Keith.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I said that. all right. What else is going on, Rob?
No, we have. I have no banter left. You want to talk about Adam Gase? You want to talk about Adam Gase real quick?
No, I was going to do an emergency episode.
Let's sit here. Let me set the timer. That everybody can stop listening if they don't want to hear about it. But let's
We're going to talk about some that, sports.
We are big Jets fans. I'm going to set. Let me set the timer for 5 minutes for Adam Gase talk. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we pretend like we didn't have this conversation before we started? Also,
no. But let's just.
I'm the $70 a month patrons. No,
they already know. But I feel like a lot because I get a lot of, on my timeline. I don't have another format to talk about.
This. Right. But those people who are asking you, they definitely listen 3 hours into this podcast. Also, right?
Some of them do.
They're going to be sated by your take. At
some
the end
some
here.
Of them do. Okay, so here we go.
Give me a grade for as you set the timer for the Adam Gase hire. The Jets hired a new coach. We're not happy about it. I don't think.
I'm not like going crazy about it. I feel like it was kind of a B minus C plus hire.
Yeah, I think you have to try and hit home run. You got the young quarterback. This is a once-in-a-generation thing. He's not making any money. That's when you win. You win when you have a quarterback who's making the rookie you know scale yeah. salary.
And the problem here for anybody that is not in Jets Nation right now is that you got rid of Todd Bowles, which I feel like we could have brought in the 9-year-old girl from the Seinfeld quiz, and I think it would have been potentially
Jamie's
an upgrade
kid, yeah.
from Todd totally. Bowles, mm-hmm. but. That you had Mike McCarthy sitting out there, and Mike McCarthy was sort of like the most logical pick to go with, the safest pick, mm-hmm. But some would say, well, he, has lost his fastball, Mike McCarthy, how excited is he going to be in the second job? But he has a winning record and a Super Bowl ring. And I think that the Jets fans just felt like, well, this is such a layup. Why don't you just mm-hmm. hire Mike? And then Mike McCarthy said, the only job I would consider is the Jets. And somehow the Jets said, we'll pass.
He seems like a guy who's unimpressive in interviews. That's my take. Yeah. That he probably like came into the room and he's like, listen. Also, he's probably asking for more money than the other guys. He probably wanted like $7 million plus. He's listen, this is what I do. Also, the coaches he wanted to bring with him are retreads like Ben McAdoo, Joe Philbin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Adam Gase, who had a good reputation a couple of years ago, but nobody's excited about Adam Gase, ends up being the pick. And I know some people are incensed by it. I'm a little bit more.
Yeah, but they've been beaten down to by.
I've been beaten down to But I mean, I kind of felt like if I was going to make the case for Gase, I would say, well, everybody else is going after these like hot guys who haven't done anything like Cliff Kingsbury, at least that, I mean, Adam Gase is 40 years old, which many consider to be very young and spry. And, so is he Sean McVay? Not quite, but I guess he could be close. And at least he has a couple years of coaching experience, unlike all of these unknowns.
Yeah, you know what we should have done?
What?
We should have, for this segment, we should have called my grandpa's turning 90.
What would he have said?
We should have called him. I meant to call him today. I didn't get his take. I have not gotten his take on the Jets hire.
Yeah.
Would have been a good podcast.
Right. If Mike McCarthy was not out there, I don't think that Jets fans are super pissed about Adam Gase.
I think they want it's like fans always want the backup quarterback who's never played to play. You always want the unknown commodity because you think they're their ceiling is the roof, to quote Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Like, right? You think that they have unlimited potential until you see them and you realize that there's a reason they're the backup or they weren't a coach before. So, like, you don't know. We know that Adam Gase has a ceiling. We know he's not great. Whereas the other guys, Matt Rhule, Todd Monken, they could be good. And then Mike McCarthy
but
did win.
Nobody would have been excited if it was Matt Rhule or some people on Twitter would have been excited for Cliff Kingsbury.
People on Twitter would have been very, very excited for any of those guys, I think. Maybe not Monken, but Rhule or Kingsbury, I think they would have been excited for.
Yeah. But the Jets should have gone to dinner with Mike McCarthy and they just said, look, Mike McCarthy, we're going to give you $2 million to say, I'm going to take 2019 off. I'm not coaching in 2019. And I don't know if there's a rule against that, but then Mike McCarthy's out. What are we going to do? Okay, Adam Gase. I think that this would have been, Rob has a PR firm, would have signed off on that move to sell Adam Gase.
Yeah, I think that would have made sense.
Right.
I mean, listen, our friggin' owner is probably going to come back, because none of these guys who are ambassadors, our owners are the ambassador to the UK. Ambassadors usually don't last long. How long do you want to live in England or wherever?
Mm-hmm.
So he'll probably be back next year, and maybe he'll come back and clean house. He'll be like, what happened? It's like the parent goes away, they come back, it's like, why is the building dirty? Like, why is the house messy?
Yeah.
So maybe he'll just clean.
And what do you think
out.
About the Robin Akiva Nita podcast own Peyton Manning figuring so prominently in this discussion with the Jets, where allegedly that Peyton Manning called up the owner of the Jets or the acting owner
Fake
of the
owner.
Jets, Chris Johnson, and said, hey, listen, I love Adam Gase. That's your guy. He's great with quarterbacks.
Yeah. I just think like it's so pathetic that we could just be like handled by a celebrity. It's like he's calling us up. Okay, I guess we hired the guy he wants. When like, do you think that Adam Gase was his offensive coordinator? Do you think 38-year-old Hall of Fame immortal legend Peyton Manning let Adam Gase like have any say into what they were doing?
Hmm.
He was just along for the ride. Like, someone had to be the offensive coordinator, so it was Gase.
So, but why is Peyton Manning still on board for making these types of
phone
calls?
Him because he probably let him do whatever he wanted. It's like, why did you like your, you know, seventh grade science teacher? Because he, you know, he let you
cheat
guys,
on the test, right?
Let you cheat on the test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's our 5 minutes on Adam Gase. And so I guess we'll see where it goes. But boy, Peyton Manning is really showing some chops as a leader, being able to make these types of phone calls. He is a negotiator. He is a deal maker, Peyton Manning. He is exactly the type of person we should send to the United States Senate.
That's right. Peyton Manning, Chelsea Manning, 2020.
Peyton Manning, you put him in that Senate, he's going to get those two sides in a room talking, and that shutdown is going to be a thing of a past.
That's right. You can't shut down Peyton Manning. Everyone knows that. Unless you have Bill Belichick's on the other side.
All right. There you go. Akiva, 32 Fans podcast. Everybody should go check it out. Postseason editions.
Yeah, almost done. There's only three more football games left after this weekend. It's actually kind of depressing.
Yeah, what do you have lined up for the offseason?
Oh, I got nothing. Oh. The problem is, anytime I had an idea, I would be excited about it. Now I've got a podcast where I just have to have a new idea every week.
Oh, so you think that it's the Robin Akiva Need a Podcast effect will be felt in the 32 Fans offseason?
I think so. I think Chester's got to come up with some thinkers this offseason.
Yes.
We have to have like a series where it's like, we don't have to decide every week, hey, what are we doing? You know, 10 minutes before we podcast, we need to have like a 20 part. I want to do like history. We did a history of sports one. I don't think you liked it. Not everyone liked it, but I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did like a complete history of the 1960 NFL season.
Okay.
I thought it was good. Okay. It wasn't for everybody. I don't know.
All right. Give it a shot. 32 Fans podcast. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye. Special thanks to True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper, that when you nervously picked up your first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved when you rode your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car, enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then just answer a few questions. Navigation or moon roof, that'll bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can find out how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, and you can take that to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.